chapter 14. Hunter, I'm going to give you this back because I can't. Good catch. And if you can, please stand. I'll try to read the correct verses this week. Last week, you noticed how those verses fit right in with what we were studying, even though it was the wrong chapter. Romans 14, verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. None of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Lord, I can't stress enough the importance, really, of these scriptures for the church. Lord, we hear stories, not only here, but in other churches, how someone maybe got saved, started coming, but for whatever reason, whether a good reason, bad reason, right reason, wrong reason, presumptuous or whatever it may be, they stop coming, and they all have some kind of story about how they didn't feel accepted or were in some way not able to be attached to the church to where they could begin to grow and be a vibrant part of the church. So I pray tonight that we'll pay close attention to these truths that are in your word. And Lord, may it help us to improve as we try to mentor and to disciple and to minister to people that come into our church and those that are already in our church. We want everyone to feel welcome, everyone to be drawing closer to Jesus Christ in their relationship and be a part of this body and help us to get the gospel out. So help us, Lord, to see these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I think I kind of stressed it last week, and I'm going to stress it again this week. These are scriptures that we don't normally study. We'll study about salvation, redemption, revelations. We'll study maybe a character in the Old Testament. We'll study some things that devotionally maybe stand out to us. But I'm here to tell you, as I have studied this and looked at it again and again, as Paul always does, I call Paul a concentrated writer. That doesn't mean he was a focused writer, Miss Alice. That means, for me, I can't keep this thought out of my head, is the little cans of orange juice that are in the frozen food section. You take that can, put it in your freezer, and when you want some orange juice, you set it out and let it soften up, put it in water and stir it. And it makes all the water orange juice. Paul puts a lot in here. There's no way that you would stick with me if I were to unravel, and as I would put it, to Bible analysis each and every section and part of this. I would lose you and your attention. But I want you to attempt to, on your own, read these scriptures. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about them. And these are not bad things. These are not really don'ts and do's. These are beware of, watch for. And I've given some stories from my past, but you may have some yourself. If you have ever been in an argument, brother or sister, mother, son, daughter, you name it, friend, it doesn't matter. And in a week, you can't remember what you argued over. This would probably fit in there. Because sometimes the fight's over something that's not worth even fighting about. You know, I tell what little bit of parenting skill I have, that you punish kids for two reasons. Anybody remember what I've said in the past? I've said it a few times here. And I stick by that. Disobedience, direct disobedience. In other words, don't go out that door. Look at me and go out that door. I punish. And my second one is a bad attitude. Beyond that, we can kind of work with it. The kid, you know, will be just like a Philadelphia lawyer. If they don't think they're guilty, they'll come up and give you every case, but dad, but mom, but hey, you told me and I didn't, you know, that, throw all that out. Direct disobedience and a bad attitude. And I know y'all raised kids, all of them had good attitudes, right? Paul's back there with a little smirk on his face. I thought Lance and Matthew were not getting into it, right? We'll just leave it right there. Think about his brothers. Okay, I got you. But anyway, as Paul says here, and he was talking about eating, and someone is in today's thinking will think of them as a vegetarian. And, you know, I know of a handful of people that are vegetarians. And I don't know whether y'all noticed what the New Green Deal thing is. Anybody seen the thing that they're adding to the New Green Deal? 4 burgers a year. They're going to do without red meat. Y'all don't think I'm telling the truth. That was on there. Now, when I did, I'm like, that's a joke. But I read it more than one time. And I'm thinking vegetarians are going, yeah, now what are y'all going to do? But we can't fall out over those things. Somebody doesn't want to eat meat, I'm good with it. But if they come and file a claim personally, verbally, against me for eating red meat, and I haven't said anything to them for their vegetarian ways, it's going to offend me in some way. Now, I may take it right, Brother Bill. I may not respond wrong, but they've come at me really in the wrong way. Now, I say all that to say this. We're talking about a spiritual activity as much as anything. Because we're talking about in the church. And I can think of, in every church that I've been to, in every church that I've been a part of, and that's 3 churches, there's been people that have come in, and for whatever reason, and I would say this, a higher percentage of their reason or excuse for leaving is probably more on them than the church. Okay? I'm just going to say that. I mean, when you analyze it, like, that doesn't make sense. But here's the thing. We have to minimize that as best we can. The Bible, we've already covered it. It's the whole root of this thing is love. The whole root of it is not to offend your brother. And he talks about it here tonight. And then when he says here in verse 6, he says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. In other words, if you're celebrating a day, let's say you're a Jew and you just celebrate that day, and you're a sold out Christian bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't hold that against them. It would be like us remembering Labor Day. Now, I know that that's a religious holiday, and I can't really give a good comparison to that. Think about Christmas. Do you all know anybody that does not put a Christmas tree up? Anybody just kind of... I know some people that don't put up Christmas trees. And if Brother Mike was here, he knows somebody in Jenny's family that will not put a Christmas tree up and will not buy Christmas presents. But when he was in his business, he would accept the gifts that were given by the vendors and stuff that he worked with. But they didn't exchange gifts. I know another family, no Christmas tree, no nothing. But the day or two after Christmas, they all go out as a family and buy stuff at the discount place, and they all buy each other stuff. But I've also seen those people, not necessarily those people, but some of those people that don't put a Christmas tree up fuss at people that do celebrate Christmas. Now see, I learned that as a lesson when I first come here. Not about Christmas, but about Halloween. I am not going to celebrate Halloween. I'm not going to pass out candy. I don't want to have a trunk or treat. If the church decides to do that, y'all can have it. I'm going to say that's fine, but I'm not going to come and be a part of it because I've read up on the origins of Halloween, and I'm against it. But I've learned something. I don't have to be dogmatic about someone else celebrating it, and I've learned even how to somewhat embrace it because if I come off hard because I don't do something, someone else does, and they take it harshly, who's won? Miss Barb, nobody's won in that situation. But we got to learn. Everybody has heard, and I know y'all are getting real worried, but I'm going to get into the good stuff here in a minute. We're just going to keep flowing. But I got to set the stage, hopefully, to help us think about how important this is. Because it is real important how we process our Christian life in our relationship with other people. It just is true. So to give you that, let's start in verse 7 and see what Paul tells us about these practices and how we are supposed to really approach it. He says, "None liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." I don't care who you are, where you're at, you're going to affect other people. When we worked in the addiction program, and we would have people come in weekly, and they would have drug or drinking or whatever their problem was, they felt like they were the only person that was going through it. But we knew that it's affecting mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, son, daughter, grandkids, it's affecting a whole range of people. No man lives to himself. And I make that example, even in the Christian life, we can, and look, we need to turn the negative to a positive. And y'all know what the positive looks like, right? A cross. And it's sometimes, it's a learning process. It's something we have to learn to do. But Paul says here, basically, we don't live on the island. Everything we do affects people. Everything that we do. And he goes on and confirms it. Whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. In other words, if we're all saved, and he's talking, I believe, to saved people. We're all in this boat together. And nobody wants a disgruntled crew member on the ship. Because he could cause problems. He could rock the boat. If you've ever been in a canoe, the old kind of canoes, if somebody's doing this, you got problems in the canoe. You need everybody in the canoe sitting there braced and trying to, you know, kind of go with the flow and help the canoe go straight without wobbling. And he says in verse 9, For to this end both die. Both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. That's the only verse that kind of worries me, that he may be speaking about lost people. And I'm not even going to really expand on that thinking as far as this. We're not the judge of who's saved and who's lost, but we always need to be people that are willing to help, encourage, strengthen and minister to those that are in our midst. Think about this. When you have a bad reaction with somebody, and you know they used to sell the bracelets that had WWJD on them, right? What would Jesus do? Stop and think about how would Jesus have handled that situation? would he have handled it the same way I did? And when we think about it, usually we will say, probably not. Really, more affirmatively, probably we would say, no, he wouldn't. So what do we do at that point? We don't just throw our hands up and say, well, I just can't do this thing. That's what most of us do, including yours truly. We must say, hey, look, that's not the way Jesus should do that, and that's not the way I want to do it. I need to learn. I need to see if I can learn the different ways. And tonight, what we're reading, you will not get a full category or a full calendar or a full, if you will, quiver of arrows to help you fight that thing. It's all throughout the scriptures. Paul continues, but why dost thou judge thy brother? And we talked about judging, and I could pull my little paper out here and tell you not to read that paper, but if you looked at it, you're going to say, that says don't read, right? Who wasn't here last week? We'll see if Paul can do it, okay? Y'all think Paul can pass the test? I think I still have the paper in here. Nope, I don't. Paul, last week I wrote on a piece of paper the words don't read. I kept it hidden. I told everybody, I said, now I want you to look at this paper, but don't read what's on the paper. I opened it up, and what do? They read the words on there. They couldn't keep from reading the words. So the point was, when we look at somebody, and I'm not picking it, but when we look at somebody, we always have some type of judgment that we make of that person. If I come in here with a funny hat on, y'all would laugh. You'd say, what's the preacher doing with the funny hat on? Somebody has, you know, something crazy going on. I mean, the guy in Somerset that had all, or does have, I don't know whether he still, he's got all the little figurines glued to his car. When he drives by, what do? You look. And you and I both will go, one of us will say, well, that's really cool, isn't it? And the other will go, I wouldn't waste my time putting all them things on there. Or there may be somebody in the middle of the road going, is that guy crazy? What's he doing? And there's other people picked up on that. I've seen some in Lexington, not many, one out of probably 100,000 cars, have something stuck somewhere on their car. And I'm like, they've been to Somerset. But anyway, moving on, Paul says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he gives that well-known verse here, where every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Moving on in this regard, I can tell you that Paul gives a pretty complete picture, but he doesn't give the whole enchilada, if you will, to us. Now, here's the next section, and I've kind of got it written down like this. We must be careful not to hinder someone else's Christian walk. Something else I've kind of learned. You either don't put too much on them, or you don't expect too little out of them. Does that make sense? You don't expect too much, but you don't expect too little. And I'm probably guilty for this. I would expect if someone was saved and they were wanting to serve God, that they would read their Bible at least 3 or 4 times a week. I'm not talking about 15 chapters a day. I'm not talking about, you know, going into in-depth. But devotional stuff is only that. It's devotional in its nature. But reading the Bible, attempting somewhere along the way to have a flowing reading of the Word of God is needed. These young kids that we've had come in here, they get inundated by homework and other stuff. And also moms and dads probably don't do as well as they should to get them to read the Bible. we're making a mistake, because what other book would you have them to read other than this book? I mean, really. I mean, if you think this is the inspired Word of God, it's not written just by man. God inspired it. It said all Scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration means breathe. God breathed out all of it. And men, under the control of the Holy Spirit, wrote, not losing their personality, wrote every word in here. And every word that's written in here is the Word of God. We should want our kids to read this book above every book there has ever been printed. And I didn't know this. Now, the Bible is the number one all-time seller. But I didn't know this. A few years ago, it became not the number one seller for the year. Now, I didn't check that, but somebody told me that, and I couldn't believe it. And I haven't done the Google on it. But there's other books that are selling more than the Bible. That seems hard to believe. Now, like I say, I can't say that that's absolute truth, but we don't hold regard to that. Now, a lot of that is the digital deal, but that would still have to be included in there, I think. So, look at verse 13. Sets up our thing here. He said, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way." That just real simply means we can't ever be the stumbling block or the reason why that stumbling block falls in that brother's way. We need to be the one that helps them over any obstacles that they have in their Christian life. Remember what I said earlier. We want to be the ones that encourage, help. We got to be the ones that strengthen. We want to be the ones that minister to them. And I'll just put this out there. This is something that I've been thinking about. I think that this church has some kids that maybe some men and some women could minister to. Now, they don't all go here, but I know they've come here in the past. But as some don't have fathers and stuff, we could have a father mentor program here and mentor some of these kids by doing activities that would be good for them. And the same thing for any girls that don't have mothers or fathers. That would be a good thing. But Paul lays it out here, stumbling block or an occasion. And he says that he's persuaded by the Lord Jesus there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. In other words, if I deem that country music is unclean, I can't make it unclean. I'm not a country music fan. I'm not against country music. But I probably listen to music that you all would say, the preacher listens to that. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You ask me when I go out, I'll tell you. But let's look on. But if thy brother, verse 15, be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, Jesus died for that guy, and that word destroy means to remove, and basically what it means to destroy their faith, to knock down their faith. Verse 16, let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Get this, there's four things here: righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. Three things there, I'm sorry, can't count. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. What's the righteousness of Christ? Is it wearing a suit to church? No. It's the righteousness of Christ, is it? And you fill in the blank. Now, the righteousness of Christ is just that. It's Jesus Christ. Now, we should all be Christ-like, correct? Correct? So in that saying, and he doesn't say that Christ-like word, but really he's getting to the point, don't destroy someone else's faith just because of what you may believe that's not a biblical, not a righteous character or a trait that Christ would consider a bit of righteousness. And in the peace and the joy. And he says there, for these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved to men. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. What does edify mean? Build up. Not to destroy, not to tear down, not to cripple, not to put a stumbling block or an occasion. And he goes and uses this word again, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Again, you go to someone's house, we don't do this because of whatever. Let that, just go with it. Say, okay, that's good. If it's not something that's biblical, we should not make it a stumbling block or an occasion to where it dampens or weakens or shatters or destroys that person's faith. Now, these teachings, again, I put out there because sometimes we don't even think about this part. And look, I'm not saying that if you've messed up in the past, you're a terrible person, because we all mess up. But we got to learn from the past. You know, if somebody does something at church that you don't approve of, and the first thing you do when you get out of church is call somebody and say, hey, did you see? Let me tell you what happened. That could come around to that person. That look that you give. And I've told you about my friend Kevin that came to church, and he said he couldn't hardly stand the look that the people give him. That's why he quit going to church for almost 4 or 5 years. And it broke my heart when I seen him that time. He said, Brother Ricky, he said, I just couldn't do it. He said, I walked in, I felt like people were just sneering with their looks. He said, nobody, I said, did anybody say anything to you? He said, nobody said anything to me. That's amazing, Norma, that nobody even said anything to him. And his wife said, yes, we would sometimes get in the car and we just felt so bad. And they come for like 2 months. Now, granted, I told you that I was one of the first people that probably give him that look. But in a week or two, I got over it. And we become close friends. And I and along with about 3 or 4 other people, tried real hard. But there were a lot of other people that were giving that look. So it doesn't have to be you. It could be someone else. So we got to be careful. We got to realize that that person, Jesus died for them too. Jesus died for that person too. And Paul is trying to, in these verses, I think, get that over to us. He says in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. If it's a personal character trait that you try to keep, that's not necessarily a black and white scriptural thing, you keep that yourself. And if someone asks you, say, hey, look, I do this because I feel like the Lord doesn't want me to this. Now, with that being said, I got to say this. When the preacher reads something in the scriptures and he says something and it pricks your heart, if it's in the Bible, it's got to get you. You got to let it get you. You receive it, and you say, okay, what am I going to do with that? Now, again, I could use a personal experience with jealousy, and you've heard that, and I'm not going to go through that. I overcome that, but I had to receive that teaching to myself. I had to recognize how I was not being the husband that I should have been, and work my way through it and become the husband that wasn't, and I'll just say it straight, wasn't a jerk at sometimes. I know y'all think of me as a jerk, but I'm just saying there were sometimes I just acted like a jerk. So Paul says, hast thou faith, have it to thyself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm going to be honest with you. That last verse, I can't give you a clear answer for that. But I can tell you this. We are to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. And I know there's, we could carry that over into a discussion and a teaching on faith. But Paul says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we are doing something and we have not put it through the faith process, and faith is a trust. Faith is believing. Faith is what? Being persuaded of something being right. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray as we are getting closer to the end of our study, Lord, here in the book of Romans, Paul lays out the things from chapter 12 on into even chapter 15 about how we are to live and to be more Christ-like in our personality, in our character. And Lord, again, I say this, and we have to be big boys and big girls to take a good close look at this and see if there may be people here that say, hey, I don't have a problem with this, Brother Rick. And that may be true, and I can't be the judge of that, but we must look at this and make sure that we train ourselves to be prepared for those times when we may be in that position to be that encourager, or if we've been a stumbling block to someone, or we need to make that relationally correct with someone and go, hey, I did this, I said this, this happened, I'm sorry. I pray that we can put it behind us. We don't want anything to be of an offense to anyone. So, Lord, I just pray that you just use these scriptures and this lesson, this message tonight for your honor and your glory, for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.